Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, entitled The Dynasty of Anshuman. Text number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ivatmaja. Soyam Brahmarshi Varyaste. Rajarshi Pravarad Vibho Katamarhoti Dharma Gya Vadham Pitari Vatmaja. Translation: My Lord, you are completely aware of the religious principles. As a son never deserves to be killed by his father, here a brahmana who should be protected by the king and never killed. Here is a brahmana who should be protected by the king and never killed. How does he deserve to be killed by a rajarshi like you? Please repeat. My Lord, the word rajarshi refers to a king who behaves like a rishi or sage. Such a king is also called Naradeva because he is considered a representative of the Supreme Lord. Because his duty is to rule the kingdom, to maintain Brahminical culture, he never desires to kill a Brahmana. Generally, a Brahmana, woman, child, old man or cow is never regarded as punishable. Thus the wife of the Brahmana requested the king to refrain from this sinful act. Again, oh my Lord, you are complete. Here the wife of the Brahma is in a dilemma. If we know the story backtrack, the the king was cursed by, who was it? Who was it, Rishi? We just read. The king was cursed by mistake, by Vasishtha. Who was a guest of the king, and when he take lunch, the cook was a brother of a rakshasa that the king had killed. So he wanted to get the revenge. So then he cooked human flesh and fed it to the king unknowingly. To Vasishtha. So Vasishtha became very angry. He could understand by his tejas that this was. So he became very angry and he cursed the king that you will become a rakshasa also. Later he realized he'd made a mistake, Vasishtha. But the curse was there, and so those rakshasa tendencies developed in the king. So one day while he was out in the forest, he was feeling very hungry and he saw a brahmana about to procreate with his wife. And he captured the Brahma, and the Brahma then was going to eat him. So here is the pleas of the poor wife. Don't eat my, you're the king, you're supposed to protect. Please don't eat my husband. This is material world. All these things come up unexpected for no good reason. The king was innocent. He was cursed by the Vasishtha, made a mistake. He thought the king had purposely fed him meat, but it was unknown to the king. So he was innocent, but still he had to get that curse. And then he's That nature came out in him and he wanted to eat a human being, a brahmana, that. And so the wife is pleading. But to no avail, as the story goes. So just see how the nature, your nature is so strong that even against, she's saying here, you're the best, not only the king, you're the Brahma Rishi, Brahmashi, you're saintly king. You're the best of the, you know the codes, and the duty of the king is to protect the progeny, especially the Brahmanas, especially to protect the Brahmana culture. You have this knowledge. And how can you do this? How is it possible you're going to do such a thing? But due to that curse, due to that nature, so lusty, so hungry, that he ignored and ate the Brahmana anyway. As life, you've got to be eaten by somebody, right? Either the worms or the fish or the ashes. Your body's destined to be eaten. But anyway, it seems like, you know, everyone was innocent here. The king was actually innocent, the brahmana was innocent, the wife was innocent. They had... So who can understand the ways of life, the material, how karma is working? Unless you're a tri-kala gyan, these just, you know, things don't make sense. Why such a pious person should have a unhappy ending. And how, simply by the mistake of a saint, Shista, great sadhu, miscalculation. His mind immediately went, hey, immediately without waiting, finding out first, immediately became angry. So, shouldn't have done it. And this was, when is this? Is Satyug or? Because later on in this dynasty, then Ramchandra appears, so that's Treta. So it may be big early Treta or Satya even. So you see, even in those ages where it's very nice to live here actually, there's always something. Nothing is... So Srila Prabhupada says, you make your business to get out in this lifetime. You try to get out in this lifetime. We've got 437,000 years till the end of Kali Yuga. It's no joke. But Prabhupada said, try at least. Make it the goal to get out in this life, finish up altogether in this lifetime. It's always troublesome. Yeah. We're trying to adjust to be comfortable in life. We're trying to make ends meet and adjust and keep a smooth path, progressive path through life. But it takes a lot of energy, a lot of intelligence, a lot of endeavor to try to remove those problems which come on their own accord. It's hard. It's a hard struggle for existence. And that is Maya's business, is to keep us preoccupied with these things. How we can avoid the problems of life. And everyone is preoccupied by this thing of trying to pass through life without problems so they can be happy. That's it. This is the sum and substance of material life. But you actually can't remove these problems. Here in Satyayuga, they have their problems. Don't think we'll do better in Kali Yuga. It's a terrible age. So the proposition is, be a little tolerant, as much as you can tolerate. Body is given to give trouble. So as much as possible we tolerate. No, you can't ignore. You can't ignore the existence. I am not this body, but that's philosophy. Jad Bharat, he can say I'm not his body, because he lays on the ground and he eats whatever comes along. So sometimes he's eating very nice food in ghee, and other times he's eating the dry leaves. And he doesn't bother to for his own protection. But that's a perfect person. You want perfection in life, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a chapter on the activities of a perfect person. What does he do? Nothing. He's laying on the floor. Understanding is everything comes according to karma. I'm going to get it anyway, whether I work for it or don't work for it. I'm going to get it. And the troubles are going to come anyway, whether I make a big defense program or don't. It's going to come. It's already destined, right? You can't avoid that. There's no luck or chance in the material world. It's working on karma, principle of karma. So, but the Krishna can intervene. The spiritual world is something different from karma. So if you can connect with that, then Krishna, that can be nullified because it's Krishna's energy. So just a word from Krishna or just a nod from Krishna, leave this one alone, that's it. That one word from Krishna or indication to Maya can save us billions of lifetimes of endeavoring ourselves to try to overcome. Especially you can't overcome because it's Devyashi Gunamaya. It's Krishna's energy, supreme energy. All powerful, all attractive energy. Not possible to overcome. So we shouldn't be too preoccupied with these things. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, you can reduce those things. Material life is how to develop those things. Eating, how to develop the eating, how to develop the sleeping, how to develop the enjoyment, facility, and the defense. Nothing else. Right? Nothing else. That's whole of life. So spiritual life means, and therefore everyone is preoccupied. That if you tell them, please, sir, chant Hare Krishna, come to them, I have no time. I have no time. Very difficult to find time. But they're only doing those four things. So it's complete. We are completely preoccupied by that. But by good fortune, now we've, by the mercy of the devotees, then we can understand. We have a little transcendental vision. Oh my Gyanantinandasya, the our eyes have been forced open with this torchlight of transcendental knowledge. And we can appreciate what's going on and make steps to come out of that ignorance way of life of trying to maintain the status quo and trying and seeking for happiness. And then you do something positive. I am serving Krishna. Jiva Sarupai, Krishna Nityadas. The soul is meant, we're meant to be serving Krishna. That's the constitution. That's Sanatana Dharma. If you're not serving God favorably, then you're not completely fulfilled. You can't be completely fulfilled. That's the nature of the soul. Sanatana Dharma. That's your actual nature. We're created like that. The hand is created to serve the body as a whole. It has no meaning to an independent existence. The hand can't enjoy by itself. It has to cooperate with the body. Takes the food and puts it in the mouth. This is the way Prabhupada gives an analogy of the different senses. They're having a discussion. Hey, we're doing all the work. The legs are working here and the brain is doing all the hands are doing all the hard work. And the belly. The tongue, they don't do anything. We work hard, get all the food, they just enjoy it, and they don't do anything. We'll come on strike. Zundavat, Zundavat. No, non-cooperation movement. So then they all, they refuse, they don't do anything. Why should we just work for this lazy fellow? But what happens? There's no nourishment, the belly, but everything becomes weak. The hands become weak, the legs become, the brain, everything becomes weak. So there has to be a cooperation there. So you can't deny the existence. You can't deny your existence unless you're, you know, a completely self-realized person. We have to live here. But as far as possible, we simply tolerate and make the best use of a bad bargain. We have a human form of life. It's a very rare gift. There's only a few humans on this planet relative to all the other species. There's only a few. And out of those, there's only a few who are actually interested in going, serving God, knowing God, loving God, going back as a handful. In fact, it is a handful out of all those. And because most people are going to God to help them have a comfortable journey in life, right? I know, I'm the Nisingadesh Pujari. Every day I get 7 or 10 emails. We nickname him Dr. Nisingadesh sometimes. It's okay. It's better to go to God for anything, even materially, than to somebody else, because you're approaching God, you see, it's purification. But everyone has problems in Kali Yuga, and they want, they're going to God to get them removed. So it's good that you're going to God and not, you know. But still, we should have that consciousness of, we shouldn't know what we should be doing. Whether we ask for material facility or not, we should know that the object of life, we're not going to be satisfied anyway for long, even if we get material facility, even if the problems go. How long will you last for? You've only got another 50 years in that body. Some of you. And some of us even less. 18, I've got, I was told. I was very happy to hear that. 18 years. Because one devotee is he does astrology. He was on tour. And he sits in there and he has a turban. He doesn't have a crystal ball. But he has his earrings and his turban. And then the people come in and he looks at their hand and he tells them a few things. And they say, how do you know that? How did you know that? It's not possible. Nobody knows that, only me. So then he explains them how the science works. And then, but once he says that, everything is as they believe. Because they said, he's told them something about their life that he couldn't possibly have known about. Then everything is as they believe. So everyone walks out with a book and a japa mala. And he tells them to, you know, have to balance your life. But anyway, there was a break, so he said, let me have a look. So he told me all these nice things. So I said, what about the bad things? I said, you never tell the bad things because you won't get any customers, right? If you tell them. He said, no. He said, by the time you're sat, he said, you're going to have your ups and downs, just, you know, sicknesses come and go on, things like that. Normal things are going to go on, he said, but by the time your Saturn comes round, he says, it's 19 years. He said, and you won't be here then. I was very happy. So he says, you'll miss that bad time. So it's not long. And I'm thinking 18 years, but it could be 18 seconds or 18 minutes. Nobody can say. But anyway, while you've got this opportunity, you take advantage of it. It's such a wonderful opportunity. It's so rare to get a human form. It's so rare, even more rare, to get a guru or transcendental instruction. These narrations are here to help us. Otherwise, what are we reading about this story for? What's it got to do with devotional service? Also, it's describing the dynasty of Angsuman. And so there, if it was just a list of names, it may not be very convincing. So therefore, some of the names, they tell the histories of, but they're usually the people that do something great. But here's not a wonderful thing. But anyway, they mention, this is a factual time in history, and this is one of the persons, so it lists like that. So it's to give us conviction of the validity of the scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Puranas. And in between that, then we're going to get different instructions from that. What is the best thing to do? What is the best things not to do? And so that's what the Puranas and scriptures are for. Then you refer, when there's a problem come up, you refer. Or the sages will refer. If you go to the sages, or the sadhu, the brahmana, who's supposed to be well read, versed, and tell them a problem, he said, well, in the past this incident happened. And he'll tell, in this instance they did, this was the thing. And he may give two or three examples, so there's a little variegatedness, varied choice. And then you follow that, follow the examples as set by the previous one. So it gives guidelines for life. And it is said, Shibakswami Maharaj told me, he said that everyone in this world has their character in the Mahabharata. So you can find someone in there to match your own character. I've never read the Mahabharata, but we're taught that you can't avoid this. We don't want problems. Prahlada Maharaj said, everyone is working hard. Nobody wants problems. Problems are, suffering is unnatural for the soul. We're ananda, sachit ananda. It's unnatural suffering. That's why we don't like it. And we like happiness because we're ananda. This is the logic you can conceive that we're actually eternal and full of bliss. Because nobody likes distress, and nobody likes to die. Everyone likes to be happy. Everyone. Unless there's something wrong. So it's an indication that this is the actual constitution. This is the reality. Because everyone's searching for this. It's like Narada was telling us, everyone's searching for Krishna because he has those six opulences. Everyone wants these things. Beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge. Not many people are interested in renunciation nowadays, but these things are very attractive. We want those things. But they're complete in Krishna. So if you connect with Krishna, you can share those things with him. You can be with that person who has them in full. Because whatever we get will only be a little bit. But here, Krishna has them in full. So you can be with that person who has them in full. So that's Krishna's proposition. We're telling the other day that the two things that are going on in the world, it's defense and enjoying. Control and enjoyment. This is the only two things that are going on. Karma and Gyan. Karma means to enjoy and Gyan means to control. Pure devotional service should be free from these karma and Gyan. Free from the desire to control, free from the desire to enjoy. It means surrender, dependent on Krishna. Not on your own ability. You depend on Krishna. I forgot my train of thought. So, Krishna's proposition is that he is the controller and he is the enjoyer. That we read in the 10th canto. We got to get prepared by reading 9 cantos and then we come to the platform of Nishtha. And then you can appreciate Krishna's position. He is the controller and he is the enjoyer. What we want to do, Krishna's already doing in a much better way. We're not very good gods. We're not very good at playing. But he is God. He has nothing to prove. When I do something, I want everyone to know. If I do something good, I want the whole world to know. If I do something shameful, I don't want anyone to know. Because Krishna doesn't do anything shameful. There's nothing for him shameful because he's a maker of the... He's a lawmaker. Well, whatever he does is religious in that sense. We try to put mundanality, judge God like that. This is a common argument. How can Krishna be God? Yadayada, he dharma. How can he be God? He comes here to teach dharma and he's acting like this with other men's wives. How can that? He can't be God. That Krishna is a different Krishna who was in Dwarka, you know, they say. This is a problem that the scholars have because they're trying to equate Krishna with us, the God with themselves. That God wouldn't do such a thing. If he was God. But Prabhupada said, you think that God is impotent? He's not like you. He has 16,000 wives in Dwarka. He's not impotent. He does what he wants. And there's no... He does it to show us that, look, I'm doing it. You can't do it. We're envious. Krishna's doing it. We can't do it. But the fact is, we can't do it. For even great persons, when they do... The story of Lord Brahma, he had an accident. But the conclusion is he shouldn't be judged for that accident. Because he's so powerful that he won't get a reaction for that. He doesn't get it, not like us. He's so powerful that any reaction would be burnt up. It won't affect him. So even if he acts improperly, it's not. So we can't say, look, he did it. Shiva did this. Brahma did this. I can also do it. They're a great person. And Krishna did. He had rats. What's wrong with me? So, but they can do it. We can't do it. That's the difference. We suffer. We get the reaction immediately. Smash down. So Krishna's showing, this is what you want. And he's doing whatever Krishna desires happens. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop Krishna. Huh? Not demons, whirlwinds, not forest fires, not wrestlers, not elephants, not armies. It's a history. Nothing can, whatever he wants to do, he does. And he enjoys like anything. So he is the controller and he is the enjoyer. So his proposition is, this is what you want, right? This is what you're trying to do in the material world. Here, I'm coming in the material world with my associates, and I'm showing I'm doing what you want. And my friends are all with me. They're doing the same thing. Here, join us. You're having a hard time. Well, give that up and come and join our party. That's Krishna's proposition. Why will not take it? Why will not take it? He's showing us he's doing what we want to do. He does whatever he wants without any trouble, with any reaction, and he enjoys like anything. Wouldn't we like that? Isn't it? Would anyone like to be like that? No restriction, Vaikuntha, no impediment. So Krishna's coming, he's showing, this is it. This is what's going on in the spiritual world. This is why you want it, because it's real. But you're trying to imitate it in the material world, and you're up against all this material energy which won't let you do it. You're identifying yourself as part of this material world. It doesn't work in the material world, it works in the spiritual world. But we're thinking we're material. We're thinking we're material. We're these bodies, and we can, by our endeavor, by intelligence, we can manipulate, chalk out a nice path, be happy, how we evolve. But who's doing it? Who's done it? Who's successful? You're here because you're not successful. I mean, you're successful because you're coming to Krishna. Because we couldn't do it alone, we're coming to Krishna to take some help from him, to try to do it. Otherwise, why would we come to be religious? So we're the best of the four classes of people coming to Krishna. I mean, we're the best of those four kinds of people. They're the best, Krishna says. They're pious. They're coming to me. Mainly to resolve problems, for curiosity. not many pure devotees among that four, because no one's coming actually for Krishna's pleasure. But anyway, somehow or other, we're here. We have this human form, we have the guru, transcendental knowledge. So it's so fortunate. We're so lucky. You've only got a little while to stay in this body. Just do something what's useful for the world, for others, and yourself, until you leave it behind. That's all. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow the guidelines of this. Don't try to adjust. The Bhagavatam is full of people who try to make it in the material world. It's full of examples. And nobody did it. Hiranyakashipu did it. He was the success story. Only he didn't keep it for very long, though. He couldn't maintain it, even though he was a material success. Nobody can be such a successful person as Hiranyakashipu. He was controlling the universe, practically. At least he was controlling the devatas. He was controlling nature. But he couldn't maintain it. He was envious of Krishna. That was his problem. Otherwise, what a life he could have had. But as soon as he was inimical towards a devotee, towards Vishnu, that was his program, then finished. So no, you can't do it. How are you going to do it? So here, generally, this is a small time story. A brahmana and his wife, you probably don't even know their names. It doesn't even mention their names, I don't think. But generally, you're talking about emperors, kings, demigods. We think if we can get one crore, we'll be very happy. Well, as long as we've got a place to stay in Bombay. If we can get, we, Just see how petty our desires are. If we could get to the West, if we could get a good job, if we could get a nice husband or wife, if we could... We're thinking like that. These are emperors. Emperors of the planet. They weren't satisfied. King Ayati. King, if he wasn't an emperor, 50 wives. A youth of his son. He exchanged his old age for youth. It took him some time. It took him 1,000 years. But finally he realized, you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. When you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. You get through the day, to the end of the day, then you can, there's some relief and you can be with your family and enjoy. And it's the same thing. You have that enjoyment, then you have to sleep, then you wake up in the morning, you wake up, it's the same old thing. You got to go through that. So it doesn't matter whether you're born on the street in Mumbai or you're born as a prince or a princess. It doesn't matter. You're going through the same thing. So we're so fortunate to have this opportunity. So fortunate. Amongst all the... And we're nobody special. We're from all walks of life, right? But we have this such a wonderful opportunity that even your, you know, big famous people, they somehow or other they don't take, or they can't take, or their fortune wasn't there. But we're coming from all walks of life, and by good fortune, we've accepted. So that's wonderful, that's good news. The Prabhupada said, you follow strictly, chant Hare Krishna, you go back to Godhead. It's not long. 50 years is not long. Just go like that. Then you go back to Godhead. So why should we worry about, you know, I have to do this, I have to achieve this, and then I'll be satisfied. And the examples are there. Nobody was actually satisfied materially. You cannot be satisfied materially because you're not material, you're spirit. A fish can't be happy out of water. So this is our predicament. We're out of our element and we're trying to find comfort in that place. You'll only be happy when you're back in the water, when you're back in the spiritual world. That's the constitution. So although it's a very insignificant story, by the mercy of devotees, they're given their purport, so we can get so much information from this. And you can go on discussing and discussing. Same person, different every day, a different person speaking on the same subject, same story, and we've got so many different, and we hear the same thing every day. All the essential things, you know, you're not the body, you're the soul, you're the eternal servant of Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead. You're meant to be engaged in His service, not in the service of Maya. Otherwise, you have to stay in the material world. So we just. This is what we're hearing again and again, but we're hearing it like this, and we're hearing it like this, and we're hearing it like this, and we're hearing it like that. It's the same thing. And one day, ding, ding, oh, that's what it meant. Another day, ding, oh, I like it, oh, that's it. I've heard it 100 times. But today, it had some significance. So that's why you hear in association of devotees regularly. And that's Krishna's mercy, then He gives you that. If you're actually sincere, then He will give you the... some realization of it. So, I say again, we're so fortunate. So we shouldn't lament, even though the world is what it is. Martyaloka. Krishna doesn't say it's a good place. Krishna says from top to bottom, Abrahama Bhuvana Loka. It's a place of Dukkalaya. Krishna says that. We think it's okay. And we think Swarga is something else. What to speak of the others and Brahmaloka is incredible. Krishna's Angular vision. It's all problematic. You can't stay anywhere. You gotta keep moving. But we go to Krishna and say, Krishna, please make my life comfortable. He said, wait a minute, I've already created this universe as a place of Dukkalaya. Now you're asking me to remove the problems. I have to change the whole universal program for you. I've said it in the Bhagavad Gita. I said it 5,000 years ago. It's not a place for a gentleman. Don't try to adjust it. You come back, what you want, I'm doing. Come, join my party. Come. Please. Mahaprabhu was crying, please come, please. You won't come. No, I'll adjust here. I think I can find somehow, somewhere there's a place for me, I can do it. But who's done it in the material world? Who's died and said, I'm so satisfied in life, I've achieved what I wanted, I'm so happy to leave now. You've only heard about it. Prahlad Maharaj says, you've heard about it, but nobody's actually doing it. You're reading about it, you're hearing about it, the future, but actually who is doing it? Who's achieving it? So then the first nine cantos is full of this stuff. Why is it necessary? We come here to chant Hare Krishna. No, we could go to the 10th canto and hear about Krishna, his wonderful pastimes in the spiritual world. But we won't appreciate them properly. So we need the priming, we need the adhikar to actually appreciate and enter into those pastimes, and we get much more. So for that, you have to be a little detached from the material world. You have to release our energy, consciousness from the material world. Then we can apply it to the spiritual stratum. So we got to become, this will prepare us, to help us become detached. Jnana Vairagya, Mahaprabhu is coming to teach. So we got to keep on hearing again and again, because we're convinced that we can be satisfied and happy in this material world. We have that conviction. The false ego is there. Because everyone's saying you can do it, right? Your politicians, your advertisements, your teachers, all your peers, they're all saying you can do it. Everyone is saying that. So everyone's living in a dream. Which nation are the citizens happy? Satisfied. By economic development, which is the main thing, out of mode of passion, but the economically developed countries, the people aren't happy. If they are, then why is it 50% divorce? They're not satisfied with one wife, husband. Why is there so much drug addiction? More. Why so many suicides? They come from the high developed countries. These are the high rises. So it's evident. If you read the paper, you can see it's not working. Although they're promising. So we're convinced of that. So why try? Don't be fooled into thinking that you can lead a peaceful, trouble-free life. I mean, if you have good karma, that's different. If you're born into very extraordinary circumstances, you won't have to work hard. We think that happiness comes from stuff, facility. Well, that is Arthur. Arthur is coming from Dharma. Arthur doesn't come from hard work. Actual Arthur, you can work hard and get a lot of stuff, but it won't guarantee your happiness. You can have everything, but it won't guarantee your peace of mind and happiness. That actual happiness is coming from Dharma. Dharma, Arthur, then you can enjoy karma. Then moksha, these are the four perfections of the material life. So you should be convinced that the happiness is actually coming from the previous pious activities. And if we perform pious activities in this life, we'll be happier in the next life. But generally it is, as the artha increases, so your religiosity decreases. Of course you have very pious families in India, very rich families. They're very pious, right? Tata Bila. They build temples, or do charity work like that. They're intelligent. And they maintain that. They maintain that, you know. But because they understand. But in general, when a society becomes really opulent, then they forget God. I'm doing all right. I'm comfortable. I don't need. When you're in distress and you really sincerely pray to God, when that goes away, when everything's going for you, then you. So generally, it tends to, at least in modern history in the West, as soon as an empire comes out, becomes very powerful, it becomes socially or morally very degraded. And at the time of that degradation, then the whole thing collapses. That's like Greeks, Romans, and all those. That's the pattern, how it goes. Because when you come, when you have a lot of facility, then you think you don't need anyone. We're doing okay. That's a problem with that. Otherwise, there's no problem. If you see it in perspective, then there's no problem. You can utilize it. It's not a problem at all. But there is that danger there also. So it doesn't economic development or to remove poverty, remove illiteracy. It was not going to solve the problems. The problem is birth, old age, disease, death. The problem is birth in the material world. As soon as you're born, you have a problem. So that's the issue. We want to be free from this birth and death and go back to the Godhead, go back to the original, our original home, and be with our original family, friends, loved ones. We're trying to imitate that here, but there it's actually eternal. That's why we're doing it here, because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. That's why these things are attractive here. But here it's not real. Not only for a little while. And it always ends in separation. Always. Time. Everyone leaves. So that's a problem. Although we want it to happen desperately, it doesn't work. So this is what the Bhagavatam is telling us very vividly by these different examples. They tried it. They couldn't do it. They were emperor. They were demigod. They couldn't do it. But you think you can do it? So don't worry about your 10 rupee desires. These are emperors, and they couldn't be successful even though they had such facility. And eventually, the success stories are the ones that gave up that endeavor, surrendered by some devotee's mercy. Narada comes along, some rishi, somebody, Krishna personally, and they surrender to Krishna. They're the success stories because they get out of the Brahmanda altogether and leave us all behind trying to adjust and trying to make it. So the real success stories are the ones that leave the material world and go back to Godhead, not the ones that adjust the material energy for a short while. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Back to Godhead ki. Sadhu Sangha ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Am I over time, or do I have a question? What time do we finish? 9 o'clock it's supposed to be. Okay. We're supposed to finish at 9. Sorry for the delay if I've caused any hunger pains for those who take breakfast. Hare Krishna, thank you.